There's nothing like a friend. There's nothing like a friend that will stay closer than a brother. And you, I pray, know that. I pray that you have a friend like that. But there's nothing worse than an enemy. An enemy who is only interested in his own welfare. An enemy who is out to get you. An enemy who does not care what happens to you as long as things go well with him. We'll see both today in the Word of God. If you didn't like Saul before, you're not going to like him at all now. I mean, when you look at Saul and you watch what he does in today's lesson, I mean, your blood is going to boil. You're going to be hot. And as you look at him, what I want you to stop and think about is I want you to think about David versus Saul. I want you to watch these two men. I want you to see the hearts of both of them because they are a study in contrast. And as we look at them, what you need to do is you need to ask yourself, am I more like Saul or am I more like David? Am I a man that is worthy to have friends that would follow me and help me? Or am I a man that is only concerned about myself? Well, you're not only going to hate Saul in the right way. There are times when we look at characters and it is right for us, not in a sense of the humanity of hating a person, but to hate that behavior, to hate that lifestyle. It is all right to know that there are absolutes, that there is a right and there is a wrong. And that's what you're going to see today in two men that are just absolutely men who makes your blood, as I said, boil. So are you ready to have your blood boil? Okay, well, let's open the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and let's go for it. And let's see what God has to say here. Now, remember, David has feigned madness before the king, that Philistine king of Gath, King Achish. And now he has fled from him because he realizes that that king, if he knew that David was in his right mind, he would consider David as an enemy. But it's so interesting that you remember all these things. And I will tell you why, because you're going to meet King Achish later, or Achish, however you say him. Maybe it's Achish. I told you, I'm not very intelligent when it comes to, and not very good at pronunciation, and I never got hooked on phonics. I didn't understand them at all, and didn't try. So here I am, mispronouncing. Now, in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, it says, "So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him." Well, it is about time that those brothers got on board, isn't it? Remember how his oldest brother, the one that Samuel thought surely was God's choice because he was so tall and so handsome, remember how he got on his case, how Eliab got on his case when David went to the battle to watch and see what Goliath was doing and to listen to his threats? Well, his brothers and his family have now come to him. They know that he's in trouble. They know that Saul is after him, and they have stayed close by him. Isn't it wonderful when a family sticks together? You know, if nothing else, your children ought to know that your home is their safe haven and that your family is where they can find the security and the love and the acceptance that they need. I remember my daddy used to say to me, he called me little sweetheart, but I remember he said to me as I grew older, as I became a teenager, "Kay, I want you to know that no matter what happens to you, you can always come home." I remember when my oldest son, who had been a prodigal son, when my oldest son finally got saved at the age of 37. I remember him standing in the kitchen and just telling me, "Oh, Mother, Mother, thank you for not stopping praying for me. Thank you for continuing to love me." He was home. He was home. And that was my goal. And that's what needs to be our goal as families. We need to stick together. We need to know. You know, you could beat up on me and I'd fight you back. I could beat up on my brother and it was all right. But you couldn't beat up on my brother because he was my brother and I'd beat up on you. Family. It's so important. Well, watch what happens in verse 2. It's a very significant verse, although it doesn't seem significant at the time. It says, "Everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered around David. They heard where he was, and they went to him because they knew his circumstances, and they came to him because they were in similar circumstances, and he became captain over them." I'll get it straight. "Now there were about 400 men with him." 400 men. Do you know what this is the beginning of? This is the beginning of David's valiant men. You're going to read about them later on. These are men that have gravitated to David. They are men in desperate need and not good circumstances. And they need a home and they need a family and they need somewhere to go. This is what happens so often in gangs. A kid gets in a gang because he needs that family, because his mother is gone or his father is gone or the pressure is great and he wants to belong or she wants to belong. And so they get in the wrong crowd. They get in the wrong environment. And this is why it's so important for you and me to protect the family, but also, listen carefully, to open the door. To open the door to others. Others need to come in your home. We need to be given to hospitality. Now, this was hospitality in a cave. But anyway, those caves were pretty nice. And when you go to Israel and you see them, they're huge and they're big. And they are a place of refuge from the heat and from the storm and from the sand. And the view out of the cave is absolutely beautiful in those wildernesses. But anyway, you and I need to open the doors of our home. You and I need to be given to hospitality. We need to bring others in. We need to bring the hurting in. We need to bring those that have needs in, and we need to share with them. This is what the early church is all about, and you can read about it in Acts. And it said that anyone who had a need was taken care of. So there was no one that wasn't taken care of and wasn't provided for. Well, this is David's mighty men, or this is the beginning of David's mighty men. Remember how many are there? There are 400 of them. I wrote it in the margin of my Bible. 400 men gathered to David. Now, verse 3, "And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab." Now, if he went to Mizpah of Moab, as you look at the map in your study guide, and by the way, we do have a study guide, and you can download it, and you can just go to preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com, and download that. But as you look at the map, you know that Moab is to the east of the Jordan River. And Moab is down along its opposite Jericho, and then you go on down south. Well, he goes down to Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me." Now watch his trust in God again. Watch, until I know what God will do for me. When David and Jonathan separated, Jonathan was saying, "The Lord be with you." And when he told him that he was going to have to flee, "The Lord has decided you have to flee." David is resting in God. David is resting in the sovereignty of God. And you're going to see a contrast with Saul. But you know what's so neat? When you stop and you mark this, that he goes to Moab, and you think about all of this, and you remember the book of Ruth, what you know is that David came from the lineage of a Moabitess woman and Boaz a Jew. He had a Gentile mother. His mother was Ruth. Remember the story, the book of Ruth, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was the Jewish mother-in-law, and Ruth was a Gentile daughter. Well, so he's going down there, and he's saying to this king, take care of my family. Now, remember, Ruth was his great-grandmother. Ruth was his great-grandmother, so he's not afraid of the Moabites. Then he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. The prophet Gad said to David, all right, now a prophet is a person that is speaking for God. And there are false prophets and there are true prophets. And as we study the Word of God and as we go through it book by book and chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you're going to learn so much and you're going to learn a lot about prophets. But what I do is I mark a prophet with like a megaphone, and I put a green megaphone around it, and then I color it yellow because he's a spokesman for God. And so yellow is my color for God. And says, the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Now, we don't know exactly where that forest is, but we know that David went there out of obedience. Then Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. I mean, Saul has his scouts out. Saul is trying to find David. Saul wants to murder him. Now, Saul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand, and all of his servants were standing around him. And Saul said to his servants who stood around him, hear now, O Benjamites. Remember, Saul's from the tribe of Benjamin. Will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you like commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? I mean, just imagine he's sitting there and he's sitting there and he's got the spear in his hand and he's saying, I want to ask you a question. Would David give you fields? Would Dave give you commands? Look at what I've done for you. Because what is happening? I mean, just the very fact that he says this shows you that the thoughts of David are eating at him. He has murder in his heart, murder in his mind. This is where it begins. And he cannot shake it. Watch people. Listen to what people say. Because out of the abundance of the mouth, they speak. So listen to what they say, and you will hear what is in their heart. And as they listened, they knew that this man cannot get over David. Now, what is about to happen? Well, it's not pretty, but you need to know it, and we'll talk about it when I come back. Welcome back. We left Saul sitting under the tamarisk tree, spear in hand, as he's talking about how he takes care of his men. He's upset. And he's upset because he doesn't have any good information on David. And so he's sitting there under that tamarisk tree, and he's just talking out loud. And he says, all of you have conspired against me, so there's no one to disclose this to me when my son makes a covenant. Ah. He knows that Jonathan made a covenant with David. He knows that. And now he's saying, and none of you, told me about that. You're all conspiring against me. And he says, he made a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you who is sorry for me, nor discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day. Duh. Is David lying in ambush for Saul? No. But Saul is saying that. Saul's just flat out lying. And Saul knows that he's lying. But you know, you can get to such a state, you can get so far away from God that a lie seems like truth. And that hatred is not bad. I mean, you just keep removing yourself. And if you remove yourself from God and you remove yourself from the people of God and you put yourself with the people of the world, then you're going to find good companionship and you're going to think you're all right, but you really aren't. There was a man there that would come alongside Saul and do a dastardly thing. Let's look at it. Then Doeg, I told you, Doeg the dog, Doeg the Edomite, who was standing by the servants of Saul. Remember, now he was the chief of the shepherds. He was over all the shepherds that took care of all the livestock of Saul. And he says, who was standing by the servants of Saul said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, and the son of Ahitub. Now, I'm saying that wrong, I think. So let me correct myself. I say Ahimelech, and I think it's Ahimelech, okay? I don't know if I can remember it, but I think it's Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, all right? He inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Can't you just see him kind of smiling as he watches Saul get this news? Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all of his father's household, and the priests who were in Nob, and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, listen now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said to him, why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me in that you've given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him so that he would rise up against me by lying in ambush as it is to this day? Now, is that true? No, it is not true. Now, he knows that David is not lying in ambush. He knows that David, that he's seeking David, not David seeking him. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who among all your servants is as faithful as David, even the king's son-in-law? He's your son-in-law who was captain over your guard, and he's honored in your house. What do you mean? What are you telling me he's lying in ambush? This is who David is. There's no servant more faithful. He's your son-in-law. He's the captain over your guard. He's honored in your house. He sits at the king's table. He said, did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair. But the king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household. Is this a fair trial? No, it's not. This is a king who is out of sorts with God and out of sorts with everyone else. This is jealousy that no one can stand against. And it is a hot rage, and he wants this man dead. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, turn around and put the priest to the Lord of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. But the servants of the king, yea, were not willing to put forth their hands to attack the priests of the Lord. Oh, how I admire those men. How I admire those men for refusing to obey the king, for laying, in a sense, their lives on the line at the hot temper of this man. Then the king said to Doeg, you turn around and attack the priests. And Doeg the dog, remember, the Edomite turned around and attacked the priest, and he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. And he struck Nob, the city of the priest, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and infants, oxen, donkeys, and sheep. He struck with the edge of the sword. Think of the massacre, because one man is jealous, and this jealousy has so enraged him and so consumed him that he is going to put to death everyone and anything that gets in his way or anything that he suspects. His wrath goes far beyond his reason. And that's what you see so many times. This is a man that you don't want to be around. This is a man that you don't want to be a friend with. This is a man who was playing the fool. This is a man who was living in the flesh. And it says this in verse 20, but one son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abithar, escaped and fled after David. And Abithar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abithar, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have brought about the death of every person in your father's household. Stay with me and don't be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, and you are safe with me. And Abithar would be safe with David. Contrast the two men. David moves according to the covenant. David moves according to the command of the Lord. David is a man who was seeking God's own heart. David could have taken his 400 men and gone after Saul. David knew that he was to be the next king. And David, in a sense, could have preempted the timing of God. But he did not. David was not in a rush. David was going to let God bring about the circumstances that would bring him to the throne. And yet, what do you see about Saul? You see a man that is hell-bent. You see a man that is intent on destroying David. You see that anger overtaking him and that jealousy flooding him, and you see him trying to get rid of David and trying to get rid of anybody that is associated with him. He even tried to kill his own son. Oh, beloved, read the book of Proverbs. Read what Proverbs says about the foolish man. Read what Proverbs says about the angry man. And learn to stay away from them. Learn to choose your friends. And choose a friend that will stick closer than a brother. That's what David had in Jonathan. He had a friend that would stick closer than his brother. And learn, beloved, to open your home. Learn to open your home to those that are longing for family, that are in need, that need someone to care for them. That's what God has done. He's opened his house, and he has said, anyone that wants to come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to him? You can belong to the household of God. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? We've talked about family today. We've talked about friends, and we've talked about enemies. So what is God's precept for life for us today? I think the precept for life that's so important for us to get is in that family, you need to take your children and you need to teach them the precepts of the Lord so that from a child they will know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. One of the things that we so often don't realize is that Solomon, who was the primary writer of Proverbs, tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 what his dad did to him, and his dad was David. Listen, he says in chapter 4, verse 3, "When I was a son to my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother," his mother was Bathsheba, "then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding." Well, what did Solomon write about? The first thing that Solomon wrote about in Proverbs chapter 1 was, "My son," in verse 10, "if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait in blood, and let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as they go down to the pits.'" And this is what's happening to so many kids today. Just recently, I heard about some kids that found a homeless man on the streets and beat him to death. And they beat him to death because they were bored. Because they were bored. Where were their parents? Oh, beloved. Oh, beloved. This is a book of wisdom. This is a book of life. These are God's precepts for life. Use your family, use your home, use your time to give your children wisdom, that they might acquire wisdom so that they might know how to live, so that they might know how to choose their friends, and so they might know how to stay away from those that entice them to do evil. He says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood." Be the father, the mother you should be.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.